From WJCT in Jacksonville, this is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's Friday, December 23rd, our last podcast before the holidays and the penultimate program before the end of the year. Next week, we'll feature our Best of 2016 episode, but on this episode of Redux, we're going to look at how one group is helping to solve the problem of food deserts in our urban core. We'll also bring you an update of the arrival of online shopping juggernaut Amazon to the River City, as well as a tale of those Jacksonville jumbo shrimp. But first, it's not every day you get a visit from a local legend. Find out what that's all about next here on Redux. When Jacksonville voters went to the polls last month, they were just about evenly split between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, with Clinton holding the slight edge in the River City by a 48 to 47.7% margin. That's 3/10 of a percentage point, to be exact. Jacksonville, in other words, is a divided city. That's also what brought Reveal host Al Letson back to his hometown. Letson sat down with First Coast Connect guest host Jessica Palumbo earlier this week to discuss Reveal's latest project, which will tap into that divide and talk to people here about what they feel will happen under a Trump administration.
I love this city. I love this city in a way that I can't describe. It's home. But, you know, home is always a place that's, a mixture of good and bad. And you have, like, things that don't ring true to you as you grow up and things that, you know, you love about the place. So, yeah, I've always thought that Jacksonville was a divided city. I've always felt like there were places where I was more welcome than other places.
Al also talked about growing up in Jacksonville in the early 90s, comparing and contrasting attitudes about race and politics here in the River City.
When I was growing up, the way that politics played out, you know, and I could be idealizing this, I'm not sure, but it felt like people could have, like, conversations. Let me rephrase that. I think when it comes to the issue of race in the South, we'd never have the conversations that we need to have. So that's one thing. Like, if you just put race over in the corner and talk about, like, just politics, and I know it's hard to divorce race from politics, but if you just talk about politics, it seems when I was younger, like, people were able to, like, have conversations between each other. You look at, like, what happened, let's say when Ronald Reagan was president, I mean, you know, him and Tip O'Neill worked together on things to kind of move the country forward. And so I think that, you know, if you look at the way politics has happened over the years and the proliferation of media, you see that, like, now, like, politics is like sports. It's like, you know, listen, the Jaguars are not a good team and they're still my team, and I'm going to root for them. Yeah. So I think that's what happens with politics as well. So, like, Republicans, you know, generally just go for Republicans, and Democrat just go for Democrats. And I think that, you know, when you're in that partisan divide, like, tensions get ranked up. And so, I feel like in some ways, yeah, we're definitely, the country as a whole is way more divided, I think, than I've ever seen it.
Al Letson is the host of the award-winning program Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, which airs here on 89.9 FM, Saturdays at noon and Thursdays at 1 p.m. First Coast Connect is on each weekday morning at 9 a.m., either on the radio or streaming on our WJCT app. A grocery co-op is coming to the northwest side of Jacksonville in an area known as a food desert. As WJCT's Jessica Palumbo reports, the project is a work of nonprofits that are stepping in where grocery chains won't tread.
For 15 years, Paul Tutwiler has been working to improve Northwest Jacksonville. He heads up the Northwest Jacks Community Development Corporation. On WJCT's First Coast Connect, he said area residents have been asking for a grocery store in their neighborhood, but there was trouble attracting big chains.
As we talked to many of the national grocers, they were telling us that the income of the area residents were too low.
Even economic incentives weren't enough to lure them, he says.
So we came up with a new idea that's not so new, but we thought that maybe we could have a community-owned grocery store.
Federal grants totaling $1.5 million have helped Tutwiler's organization set an opening date for the co-op, planned for the corner of Moncrief Road and Myrtle Avenue, with a groundbreaking set for late next summer. He anticipates not only immediately surrounding neighbors, but thousands of other people will travel to the community to shop at the store once it's open. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
If you're thinking a baseball cap or a t-shirt from our local baseball team is the perfect stocking stuffer or Hanukkah present, well, you're not alone. Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp merchandise is flying off the shelves just over a month after the minor league ball team's owner changed the name from Suns to Jumbo Shrimp. While all early indications point to the name change being a success, WJCT's Ryan Bank explains that keychains and hats don't necessarily translate into ticket sales.
Since the name change, Jumbo Shrimp hats, shirts, beer koozies, and other memorabilia have been shipped to 47 states and 6 foreign countries. Due to the huge demand, several items have been backordered as holiday shoppers snap them up. WJCT sports analyst Cole Pepper says that's great for the sales department, but
if people decide that having the Jumbo Shrimp hat or having the Jumbo Shrimp jersey or shirt is enough, then it's not going to change their behavior going to the games or not. But if it triggers them to say, you know what, hey, I've got the hat now, let's go to a couple more games, then it could have an impact on their ticket sales.
A day after announcing the name change, owner Ken Babby said on First Coast Connect when he changed his old team's name to the Akron Rubber Ducks, he saw a close to 30% jump in attendance.
And so we took 2016 as a year of really building trust and making some positive deposits into the community trust bank, if you will. Mm-hmm. And Melissa, I think that, you know, that we really strive to build a brand and build a logo and name that match the experience that we've been working so hard to build.
Babby's moment of truth will come when the Jumbo Shrimp opened their 2017 season in April. The Jumbo Shrimp store is open now at the baseball grounds and online. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Next up, online retail giant Amazon is planning to build 2 Jacksonville distribution centers, with the latest slated to go near the Cecil Commerce Center on the city's west side. In this week's Business Brief, analyst John Burr tells news director Jessica Palumbo industrial development is booming at the site of the former Navy base.
Let's talk about these distribution centers. How big is one of these things, John?
The one that Amazon is going to be building out at Cecil is 1 million square feet. So just to give you an idea, 1 million square feet is the size of the Avenues Mall. So it's a huge building.
This is the second one coming to Jacksonville.
The first is a little smaller, but not by much, and that will be out near the airport.
Right. This comes on the heels of a lot of development at what's called Cecil Commerce Center. Where is that for folks who don't know?
It's off of I-10. It's a former Navy base, mm-hmm. 4,400 acres, huge piece of property the city got in 1999 from the Navy when the base closed. You know, if you haven't been out there, it's really kind of impressive. You just head west on I-10. There's an interchange exit for Cecil. Most people have no idea what's going on out there, and they're shocked when they see it.
What else has been going on out there recently?
Well, the other big thing was a couple of years ago, GE Oil and Gas said they were going to be opening a manufacturing plant out there. That's about 500 jobs. When you get a large corporation like a GE or an Amazon, to build a major facility, that sends out a signal to other companies that this is a good place to do business. It's kind of like a seal of approval. People in commercial real estate businesses, there'll be an Amazon-like effect for their business, probably going to raise the value of industrial real estate in Jacksonville overall.
And this is the same center where the Saft battery factory has been for a while, and now things are, it sounds like, really cooking out there.
But, you know, it wasn't always that way for Cecil. In fact, the city struggled quite a bit to get any development out there once it took control of the land from the Navy, in part because there wasn't much development out there. At first, there was a push to bring back the Navy in 2005. Navy was trying to relocate a air base in Virginia, and Jeb Bush, who was the Florida governor at the time, who happened to have some excellent political connections, his brother being president, he worked very hard to get a base back in Jacksonville and largely succeeded in doing it. But Mayor John Payton pulled the plug on it.
Do you think Mayor Payton saw the economic value in it?
I think he did, but I think the immediate decision was because the residents out there did not want to bring back a naval jet base and with all the noise and all the commotion that would bring. It's largely a rural area.
So what happened next?
Well, in 2010, the city gave up trying to develop Cecil on its own. They hired Hillwood Investment Properties, a huge firm out of Dallas, to develop and market the land. But even that didn't really pick up the pace of things. You know, we were in the middle of a really bad recession in 2010, and the market was pretty much dead for a few more years even after that. But slowly, as the national economy improved, so have the fortunes at Cecil. And economic development leaders here in Jacksonville say that that is going to be a huge magnet for more jobs and more companies coming in as the years go on.
That's WJCT business analyst John Burr on the development happening on Jacksonville's west side at the Cecil Commerce Center. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
Here's a story that should resonate with all of you this holiday season. A Duval County middle school teacher is going beyond the required curriculum to make sure her students have a deep understanding of the Holocaust. Students from Darnell Cookman had the rare opportunity to speak with a survivor of the massacre. Here's Lindsay Kilbride with the story.
Seventh grade language arts teacher Caroline Lee started her Holocaust unit by asking students to take a mental trip in the shoes of a Jewish child living in World War II Europe.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. You've got to get out of your house in 5 minutes. What are you taking? And the students had absolutely no idea what was going on, and they were writing, and obviously some said my phone and my charger. But and I said, right, now you're going to go down to the main square with these things in a small carry-on bag, and you don't know where you're going.
She says her students are required to read the book Boy in the Striped Pajamas, about a Jewish boy and a Gentile boy who become friends during the Holocaust.
Which I think is a little bit sad. If that's what we're using to teach the Holocaust through, it seems rushed, it seems flippant.
She says the book meets curriculum standards, like learning the main idea and vocabulary, but she wants her students to really know what life was like in Nazi Germany. So she had them teach their classmates about different aspects. 13-year-old Jose Monteagudo is pointing to several of his hand-drawn concentration camp scenes hanging on the classroom wall.
I did that project. It was one about Jewish life of the kids.
He says what was really shocking, though, was talking to a survivor, Gail Halpert, who was sent to the Auschwitz concentration camp as a young teen.
And then when her sister died, the soldiers, they took her body and just threw it on the street. And they didn't treat her with respect, give it a funeral or anything. And that really hit me hard, and they just treated it like trash.
12-year-old Reem Abdelmajid says Halpert's story was horrible, but it's important for her classmates to hear.
Because we want to prevent it from happening again, because in the world that we're living in today, prejudice is part of life, and we need to try and avoid that in case anything ever happens related to the Holocaust.
Next year, the students will continue learning about this time in history with the Diary of Anne Frank. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And for our final story of this podcast, the holidays came early for some Jacksonville children with disabilities. That's thanks to a University of North Florida program where students adapt toys for special needs children as part of a class that meshes engineering and physical therapy. WJCT's Jessica Palumbo explains.
Students are putting the finishing touches on the cars they're modifying for 8 lucky patients, like Bryson, who has Down syndrome. His vehicle is a mini BMW with lots of customization. Physical therapy doctoral student Nicholas Amargo says the 1.5-year-old isn't crawling or walking yet, so
this is going to be a way for him to get across the room or maybe go play with family members on his own instead of having to be picked up and moved wherever he wants to go. So this is going to be really huge for him.
One of the additions is a musical keyboard where the foot pedals would go. Amargo's teammate, engineering student Kristen Dilly, says the boy's family gave input in the design.
They also wanted to engage his feet, so we added just a play mat, and there's this way he'll be able to engage his feet by playing a little piano.
Physical therapy assistant professor Mary Lundy co-teaches the class. She says the vehicles are much more than toys. They make it possible for very young kids with visual or cognitive disabilities to eventually use motorized wheelchairs, something they likely couldn't do otherwise.
So we have children that would not traditionally be even considered as a candidate. They get to practice, and then when it comes time for school, they're tested and they can do it because they practice the skills.
The UNF program is in its 3rd year, with at least 4 more years guaranteed by a recent grant from the National Institutes of Health. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. In celebration of the holidays, Indie Endeavor host Ryan Bank has put together a special show featuring some new takes on old Christmas classics. This episode will feature an interview with Brooklyn-based folk artist Rue Snyder. Indie Endeavor can be heard each Tuesday night at 11 p.m. on 89.9 FM or streaming on our WJCT app. Here's a preview of what you'll hear. Enjoy. I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Mamacita, ¿dónde está Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will need. Mamacita, oh, where is Santa Claus? I look for him because it's Christmas Eve. I know that I should be the sleeping.
And that concludes Redux. From WJCT in Jacksonville, I'm Vince Kong. Thank you for listening.